This is your Ghost Benedict Miller Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Demon Hunter!
Yes, sir. That's me, right over here on the other side of the room.
Oh, so nice to have you back. So nice to be back on a Sunday night. Again, for another Sunday night. We're not your savior, everybody. A little Midnight Syndicate for you. Halloween! Is a bonus. Huh?
It is. I'm a dude. We just so much this week. So much to get into, and yet we have to talk Halloween too.
We have to, I mean, oh my God, Nathan. Only our show, you know. We're so diverse, man. We bring them, I mean, 1 week talking Dybbuk Bogs, going through the pits of hell next week, and then all of a sudden Walking Dead. Stars from all over the world. What a great show tonight. I'm so stoked. Nathan's so stoked. I guess we're stoked.
We're very stoked.
Yeah, we're stoked. So what's going on, man, there in your studio?
Here in my studio. I'm trying to log into our chat room is what I'm trying to do.
Well, log in already. Anyway, it's been a busy week. Wow, it's been a busy week for your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. And before we get into that, special thanks to all our carriers, all our homes, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you listening? They want to know. Check them out, actionaudioapps.net, 102.7 FM, The Hog. Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you.
But it has been a busy week for us. We've been all over. We tried to take you guys with us on a little filming adventure this week. I guess we'll get into that here in a little bit. Very exciting, Demon Hunter. It was amazing.
It was great.
It was. It was terrific, man. Spent, total of 12 hours. It was 6 hours down, roughly six back, but at 85 miles an hour, you can make it like 5.5. I even had time to stop for pizza Friday night when I was coming home. Missouri is so beautiful. There's nothing out there, dude. Between Illinois and Missouri, I think I've seen four houses driving. The rest was crops and windmills or whatever you people call it. You were a farmer.
You know. Once upon a time, I was a farmer.
The spirit of nature. I had plenty of time to get in. You know, that's the weird thing about going on a road trip. You're lonely, for one, because you couldn't go on this one.
Yeah.
So I'm out there reporting on location, because a lot of times you and I do that kind of stuff. We can't always do things together because of schedules and stuff. So, I was heading out there. It felt very different. Not, you know, me and you not being together on one, but the show must go on sometimes, unfortunately. And we have to do whatever we can to bring you guys the latest, to datest, the coolest stuff around the world. Right, Nathan?
Oh, yeah.
And when
you say schedules, this time it wasn't our schedules for once. It was airline schedules because we plotted something on a holiday weekend.
Yes, we tried to plan G&D style last minute, which usually dealing with production companies is what we've became very familiar with. They call you like the last second. Hey, can you guys be here tomorrow at 7 a.m.?
Well, where is Taiwan?
Yeah. What do you mean you can't? We just spent $50,000 on an airline ticket. Oh, well, you can drive it. So anyway, very lonely drive. I always hate taking those drives, and when you stop somewhere, I mean, it's a lot too much time to reflect on things. You know what I mean? And I was driving out there, and I stopped in the Springfield, Illinois. Who's that the home of, Nathan?
Springfield, Illinois?
Yes. One of the greatest. Huh? One of the...
That's the land of Lincoln.
Land of Lincoln. Well, they say Illinois, the whole land of Lincoln, but Kentucky does too, Indiana. But yeah, I mean, I went out there, and the first thing I seen is, welcome to Springfield. Then I see a huge water tower with Mr. Lincoln painted on the side, and it says, home of Mr. Lincoln. And I didn't go into town, but I did stop and get get gas there. So I did tread. Maybe Lincoln frequented that gas station. I don't know.
Treaded the boards.
Yeah, I got some beef jerky there. $20 in gas. So he could have held that exact gas pump.
He could have.
The throttle there.
He could have kicked dust in that exact same spot you did.
It was. But I was driving the old rental car, Impala, and man, was it, what a good car. But it was a nice drive. It was great to get to Kirksville, Missouri. Actual population, I think, was 3,000, maybe less. Yeah, maybe less. I think it was less than that. I'm not sure, but I remember looking at it going, what the? You serious? And I remember walking into the stores and stuff, and I chew Skoal Wintergreen pouches. And I remember here in Indiana, sometimes it's a hit or miss. Some of the places don't, you know, carry the tobacco items or whatever. It's a very nice town, by the way. I'm not putting it down. But there is nothing but farmers. There's hog poop all over the floors in every establishment. And no, I'm kidding. Mostly gas stations. But, yeah, they're fully stocked on tobacco. Thank you. Thank you, Kirksville, Missouri. And the Comfort Inn. Thank you for a wonderful evening of, of cracked ceilings, water damage, and a TV that had three channels. I appreciate that.
Oh, it sounds like my home growing up.
Yeah, exactly. But you had no lights. I did have electricity and running water.
I had electricity. I had no plumbing.
Well, you guys had a battery that you ran cables off of.
Everything ran on battery. But let's remind people, like not the last show we did two weeks ago, but the show before that when we had Jason, owner of the Dybbuk Box, on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what you went to do this weekend, was meet Jason and see the real Dybbuk Box.
Well, you know, a lot of times we get to do stuff like that, man. We've been doing it, what, 8 years in the biz?
Ew.
Usually get in the car, throw dirty clothes in the back, and drive the 12 hours or 18 hours or whatever. But, yeah, man, very exciting. And if you guys don't remember, you're not fans, you're just tuning in for the first time tonight, and I don't know why. Maybe not the, you know, Walking Dead fans out there. But, yeah, I mean, we had Jason Haxton. If you don't know, he's the author of the book, The Dybbuk Box. And he's also the owner of The Dybbuk Box. And for you guys that don't know what it is, just Google it. You'll be surprised. Very intriguing artifact or object here in America. And known as the most cursed object, Demon Hunter, in America.
Yes.
Yes. And we had him come on the show, as everybody remembers, Nathan, during the episode. He IM'd me, instant messaged me, and he said, dude, my skin's burning. Go ahead, Nathan. Tell him about your side of it.
Oh, yeah. I just, first my face felt all in pain, literally in pain in my face, and then my back felt like it was on fire.
Right towards the end of the show, right?
Right towards the end of the show, and we started wrapping the show as fast as we could, and, you know, we still have to keep all our carriers happy and do our whole show. But,
right,
you know, Sean and I are doing our best to wrap that thing up at the last second. And normally we get on the line with the guest afterwards and talk a little bit. And I mean, Sean going, I got to go, man. I can't stay on the phone. And ran out. And sure enough, my face was breaking out in welts and swell. My eye was swelling shut.
Well, it looked like a man punched you in the face.
It did. And I went downstairs to my wife, Chrissy, and I'm texting Sean saying, dude, my back is on fire. I'm sure I have welts down my back.
Yeah.
And he said, go get pictures.
That's the media side of us, guys. The
We don't worry about the fact that there might be a demon in our house. No, go get pictures.
You would have done the same thing to me. Oh, dude, are you okay?
I would have. But I go down to my wife and I lift up my back and say, honey, is there anything wrong with my back?
Right.
Expecting her to go, oh, my God, it's covered with welts. And I hear just silence. It's dead silent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is it? She goes, ah. And I go and pull up my shirt, and I've got bruises on my back the size of a fist.
Oh!
Yeah! I just was like, okay, well, let's get pictures. And so some of you folks might have seen them online.
Yeah. You did a Charlie Brown.
Oh,
that's right, Chuck. Thanks, Chuck. Hey, anyway, let's stay. My ADD's
kicking. You had your issues.
I did.
You received the book from Jason regarding the Dybbuk box, and the same day you received the book.
Absolutely, yeah. 2 days later, after Nathan had his, and we didn't say, guys, for you people that don't listen to the show, which you should be because it's a great show. Every time we have a guest on, we ask them questions. We research, of course, like most radio shows, and we ask them those deep, dark questions that nobody else wants to ask, and we try to find them. Anyway, while Jason's talking to us, he can hear Nathan, but he can't hear me. I think it's every time we ask him questions, he couldn't hear one or the other.
Right.
If Nathan tries to ask him a question pertaining to the Dybbuk box, he couldn't hear him. If Nathan's asking him a question or I'm asking him questions do you like roller skating? How's your life like? Then it was crystal clear. But if you go back and listen to the archives, you guys will find out it's not a very good show because
audio-wise, it's a great show.
Yeah, audio-wise, though. Yeah, that's what we're talking about, the interference. But he couldn't hear it. At times he was saying, Nathan, can you repeat what Sean said? And, we were talking about the Holocaust, and the box played a huge role with, people during the Holocaust, or at least one person. And, it was amazing, really. And after the show, Nathan, what happened? As soon as we said thank you to our sponsors and ended the show, what happened?
Everything cleared up.
Yeah, crystal clear.
I will say, the system was not the same for a good week.
Yeah, the system was not the same at all. And sometimes, guys, we'll get interference when there's storms or whatever, but not like this. Not just when I try to answer a question or ask a question.
Almost as though once we brought in a guest, it didn't want you to talk at all. And that's never been an issue for us before. So that was a little shocking, but
usually we can fix it if it's some small amount of interference. We can get it fixed on the board. But anyway, the show went on.
But the issues happened to you where lightning struck your car.
Absolutely. 2 days later.
Your house.
2 days later.
Stuff happening. And then what do? You go and see the Dybbuk box.
How we do it, Nathan. Stacy's was extremely upset, and might I add, some of our bigger fans of our show, Nathan, were calling us crazy and saying we're going to start a prayer chain. We're worried about you guys, and it was a little different because this thing was not only did it punch my co-host in the back and the face, or what appeared to be. How else do I explain it? And we're very skeptical guys when it comes to things, and we look at all our options, and there's just too much, Nathan. We put the collages together, guys, on what happened, and 2 days later, I get home from work, and I see that Jason Haxton's book, The Dybbuk Box, had arrived, and my wife, Stacy, had brought it in, and I opened it up, and Jason had drawn a little picture of the Dybbuk Box. Said, Sean, thanks for having me on thank both you and Nathan for having me on the Ghost, Men, and Demon Hunter show. Love the show. Big fan. Sorry for the interference. Sorry what happened to Nathan. He's apologizing for what happened to Nathan, which he had nothing to do with it. He said, please have me back on. I'd love to come on in the future. Absolutely, Jason. You will be welcome here anytime. And no more than 6 minutes, 5 to 6 minutes after I put that book down, throw on a pair of shorts, set in a recliner, huge boom, house lights up orange. Come to find out, long story short, 7 feet from where I was setting, lightning had struck my car, which the insurance company has told me is so rare because of the rubber, of course, on the tires. That the lady had worked there 10 years and never heard of a lightning strike to a car. She's heard of trees being struck and falling on cars and stuff like that, but never the car itself.
And the inside of the car actually blew up.
And here's the thing. The console had caught fire, and the only thing in the car that it burnt was the seat where I would be sitting, the driver's side. Yet it blew it, the console in the back seat, and started no fire, didn't bust any windows. So here we got something that strikes a thunderbolt 7 feet from where I'm sitting. And then you got something that strikes and only burns portions of the car seat that I would be driving in, because no one else drives the car but me, usually. And then moments after that, my eyes start watering. And of course, my daughter, my 5-year-old, gets out of bed, daddy, 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 because of the lightning strike. And Stacy, our house, by the way, was the only house affected, and it wasn't raining that night. So all our lights go off. I reset the lights. Most of the lights come back on. It blew a few circuits we had to have replaced. But I go down in the studio because I smell gas. And in Nathan and I's studio where we do the show, the only part of the house, it's pumping raw gas out of what little did I know at the time, a dangerous amount. But I checked the water heater to see if, you know, maybe the blast had somehow poofed out the little light, the pilot light. It was blaring. It was fine. And I smelt the gas, and I thought, well, I'll just open up the windows. And Sis and Stacy, my daughter and my wife, went back upstairs, and we stayed there. I started watching TV, and it got worse and worse where I couldn't even breathe. And so finally I woke up Stacy again and Sis. I said, you know, let's go stay on the porch. And I called the gas company. Gas company come out. They took their meter. They got four steps down to the studio and said, get your family out. We threw some clothes in a bag. We went to the hotel where we stayed the night. The gas company ended up digging out the side yard and replacing the gas main, which they too said is very unique, the way that it busted and the way that only my house was affected. Now, these are 5 minute things apart here. 5 to 6 minutes apart. Lightning struck my car, which is rare because the rubber tires. Then the gas main breaks in a weird way, the gentleman said, and it's pumping gas into the studio. And my house is the only one affected when every other house is on the same gas main, you know. So, I mean, at what point, man, do you, you know, we don't jump to conclusions, but at what point do you say, come on, you know?
Hey, brother, why don't we announce tonight before we go to our first break?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, Shadow Nation, hold on to your hat. Oops, we've done it again. That's right. You hear the music. We're bringing him back. Oh, actually, first time. We're bringing him here. Tonight's guest, he's an American actor best known for his work on HBO series The Wire and most recently the AMC smash hit that returns tonight for season 5, The Walking Dead. He portrays Tyrese on the set of The Walking Dead. And he'll be on tonight to take us behind the scenes and give us some sneak peek looks into the season 5 premiere tonight, guys. Woo! Only on your G&D show do we bring you these guest guys. Chad Coleman from The Walking Dead in-house tonight. That's right, fans of the Shadow Nation and fans of The Walking Dead. Get ready. Chad's going to be here, and he's ready to go. Tonight, only on the Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Woo-hoo.
Yes.
Sean, we'll let's have more of that and pick up our conversation after we take our 2 second break for those our friends over at Action Audio and 102.7 The Hog.
Pay the bills, brother. Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation listeners around the world. This is your Mystifying Oracle Radio, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. So good to have you. Come on in. Good show tonight. If you guys didn't hear it, you just joined us. Actor Chad Coleman of The Walking Dead stops by tonight, giving us an inside look at, well, actually, we all got to be pretty tight-lipped, so he probably won't give us too much of the inside scoop, but he's going to tell us what goes on behind the scenes and get us ready for tonight's season premiere of Walking Dead, season 5. Are you excited, Demon Hunter?
I'm, please, I am so excited.
You guys might remember our show, I think it was maybe 4 years ago. We used to end at 9:30 at night. Now we end at 8:30. We formatted our show for tonight, and,
so we could catch The Walking Dead.
Yeah, and not only, guys, and I know fans of the Shadow Nation are very excited, not only is tonight the return of The Walking Dead, Season 5, the premiere of it, but what else have we brought back to the show, Demon Hunter? The premiere tonight for us. It's back. What
rot
segments?
Talk.
Huh?
Rot Talk.
And, of course, your own creation, the G&D Zombie Alert System.
The zombie alert system, giving people warnings of when a zombie apocalypse may or may not take place in your neighborhood.
Yeah, the dead are coming. You know, we'll have to get into that later, but yeah, man, there's some big questions about that right now. Things are going kind of crazy. But anyway, getting back to our adventure with the Dybbuk Box and Jason Haxton. Anyway, after all that stuff happened, guys, this is the first time where it struck close to home. Nathan and I have collected artifacts and stuff like that from places we've been. You know, I always have somebody throw a blessing on it. I have an angel statue from a haunted location. She's supposed to move by herself. She's wrapped in a crucifix. Never had too much problems with anything. Down here in studio and stuff, we have heard certain things from time to time. I know Nathan's had weird stuff happen in his neck of the woods over there when he's in Connecticut in his side. I've heard what I thought was whispers and stuff behind me while I was on the air. And, you know, that's who knows. Heard banging on the walls every once in a while, little tap, tap, taps. But nothing as extreme as what happened there, and very dangerous to my family. So I take this matter very serious. Now, I'm not saying 100% it's supernatural, because I don't know. I'll claim that. Nathan's not saying 100% it's supernatural, but at some point, you got to raise an eyebrow. You know what I mean? So anyway, like a lot of times, Hollywood came calling, doing a piece, I guess I could say, on the Dybbuk Box. I mean, that's no secret. You followers of our show and stuff's been on our Facebook know about it. We can't talk too much about the details. But Nathan and I got the call once again. We're honored to have it. Thanks to the production company and stuff for having us out there and involving us. And we went out on the trail of the Dybbuk Box. Who would have known it would take us this way, brother, when we had Jason? Huh?
I'm just thinking, when I saw you with pictures of the Dybbuk Box, I was sitting there going, well, you know, he said you can make a wish over the Dybbuk Box. Did you make a wish, Sean? Did you make a wish?
You know, I I think I was so awestruck when I was there. I think I did, but it's like a genie. Remember Wishmaster? Those wishes. Yeah. I would think those wishes come out like that. But anyway, our adventure, guys, I'm going to put the video up tonight. You can check it on my Facebook, Sean Burris. I think Nathan put it on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show Facebook, didn't you, bro?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. So, Jason, I went in Thursday night, and I met with author of the Dybbuk Box, Jason Haxton, also the owner. And we went out for steak dinner. He's also the curator of a very fine medical school out there, and the name escapes me. But he was doing a talk on cemetery stones, Nathan. And it was really interesting, you know, like the cut.
What symbols mean and things like that.
Yeah, and like the cut tree stump means, you know, somebody's cut life been cut short, stuff like that. And then, of course, they had a devil's chair. He took me out the devil's chair. I got to sit in it. I remember on the name plaque, you know how they put name plaques out beside the tombstones?
Yes.
The caretaker put, keep off. It had no guy's name on it. Just says, keep off. And, of course, I had to sit on it. But, yeah, I got to...
That belonged to Mr. Off.
Yeah.
And it was no date, but, you know, Mr. Off was buried there.
That's right, Mr. Off. But, yeah, I got to sit in there, and Nathan took me around town. He kind of showed me his theories of why he thought the Dybbuk Box had came back to... Missouri, you know, by some kind of force. And there was a gentleman there, and I forget the name. You guys would have to read the history. Read Jason's book, The Dybbuk Box. There was a gentleman. Apparently, the rules, the laws that Hitler followed about the Jews and the mistreatment he did, the terrible things, he actually got from a dude here in America, Demon Hunter, that...
Yep.
Yeah, that thought epileptics and people of that nature and all other sort of old people in general needed to be... Neutered.
Sterilized.
Yeah. Sterilized. So, you know, he did that. I guess Hitler paid for some of his schooling.
Yeah. He gave him an honorary degree.
Yeah, gave him an honorary degree. And apparently the American politicians got real close to this guy. And then after the war, they figured out, uh-oh, what did we do? We were following this guy. So he was kind of like an outcast. And Jason took me out to the family plot. And you would think this guy with all this money would have his own tombstone. It's not. He's got a little bitty stone with his initials on it behind his father's headstone. And he thought, Jason thinks that's something like a dirty secret.
Yeah, well, probably it. Probably yeah. Is. And folks, if you want to hear this story, remember, you can go back to our archives. Go to our webpage, ghostanddemon.com, and listen to the Dybbuk Box episode, because there's a lot of information in there you probably didn't know.
And, of course, we'll have Jason on. We have to pay to repair everything before we have him back on and get our insurance policies adjusted to fit that.
But it only cost us $1,500 just to get the show back up and running to have lights cast. It's
thank God we didn't blow the board like last. Who was it that came on and blew the soundboard?
Oh, gosh, that was oh, now we're going to have silence on the radio while I try and remember his name.
No, I always got something to say, but try to remember and tell me later. But anyway, we got the call. I went out to Kirksville, Missouri.
Bill Bean.
Yeah, Bill Bean came on, talked about demons and stuff like that, and said the things happened.
Huh? And the board blew up.
Yeah, the board did blow up. And, excuse me, I got to go out to Missouri, and I got to meet with Jason, and it was an amazing night. Just amazing. It felt like the old days, Nathan, when we get to run around, you know.
The funny thing is, I was sitting watching your adventures, because I was supposed to be with Sean this weekend, and due to flight plans getting messed up, I couldn't go. But my wife was so tired of seeing me mope around, just watching you on Facebook all weekend. I was sitting there going, look where he is now. Oh, look what he's doing now. Oh, I should be there. That finally she said, okay, what do you want to go do? We have to go do something Halloween-y to get you out of this mood. So even though my wife is the biggest scaredy pants you've ever met in your life, she writes horror stories for a living. You would think she'd be fine, but she gets scared so easy. Mm-hmm. We went on a haunted hayride.
Nice.
Yes, I had to get into the Halloween spirit, and it did. It pulled me out of my funk.
Right.
And got me back into the Halloween spirit, and then I came home and started decorating.
Wait, oh, yeah, that'll do it every time for me. And, you know, it was good to hear from you, though, while I was out there. Me and Nathan always keep in contact, so we pretty much know everything we're doing. But our lives aren't very private, guys, not when you've been on the radio, and we do all this stuff. So Nathan and I always try to keep everything in the loop for the fans of the show. And let me tell you something. The video that we filmed was very rare. Usually people aren't allowed to take cameras where we took you guys. And I went under I went into the darkness to find the final resting place, the Dybbuk Box, where it was resealed and put in the ground. And I got to tell you, Nate, being around that thing and being 3 inches from it and holding it being close to it and everything, and smelling the sweet smell that he said come off of it. He said there was no smell off of the object, but, you know, I know wood can smell, but apparently the type of wood, it's not supposed to smell. It smelled very sweet and flowery coming off this box. Yeah, coming off this box from the Holocaust Day. Almost sickening sweetness. And it was so strong, it'd make your eyes water. I mean, it's like somebody sprayed bathroom deodorant flower scented right in your face, you know? So you can definitely, sometimes you're in the presence of things, and just like being at the battlefield of Gettysburg. You know what I mean? The heaviness.
Yeah, you stand in Gettysburg and you know something's going down all around you.
Exactly. And you're looking at this box, and you're looking inside it, and you see the candlestick holder and the locks of human hair that were from the Holocaust. And you think about the people they were taking off in the small wine glass. And you're just looking at it, and it looks like a very nice antique-y. Because you guys don't know about the Dybbuk Box. The Dybbuk Box was originally a wine box that they think, the young lady that went through the Holocaust and lost her whole family, she was the only one who survived that they know of, and she had turned the wine box into a prayer box, and a Jewish prayer box, and she had, you know, prayer items in there, and the tablets and all that with the religious markings, and there's a prayer on the back that was used to ward off evil, and they thought that was very rare. But anyway, of course, everybody that's owned that box, guys, once again, you gotta Google it, and not to mention what's happened to us, and I guess a couple other radio show hosts, right, Nate?
Yeah. Other people have experienced some crazy things when interviewing Jason.
Anyway, I got to go out there and talk to Jason, and I was surprised when he brought down the Dybbuk stuff. And then we crawled back under the property, and he showed me a very secluded place where he... And you've seen how hard it was to get back there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think you were going to fit through that tiny little hole, man.
Well, I had on dress shoes, and I'm...
Yeah, with your shoes, not your belly, that got stuck. I know.
Well, we really can't use the fat jokes no more. I'm only about 190 pounds. Just a bigger guy. So I went to crawl through the crawl space and everything, and I did have on these dress shoes because I had been filming all day. And my shoe kept getting stuck on there, so I had, literally had to take the toe and like bend it backwards to get in there. And you can't stand up. You can stand up half the way, but half the way back, you got to crawl in the dirt and the nasty. And there in the back, you come up. You guys have to watch the video. You come up on this 3-inch ditch. Box that's been, or I'm sorry, hole that's been dug out, and inside that is a huge gray military case. And he opened it up, and there was the ark that the box would go in that had been made by the Amish and blessed by the rabbis that would is believed to contain the energy around the box and the demon in the box to keep it there for years. And in it went, and down it went, and it was resealed, and I got to witness the stuff, and it was just amazing. So it was amazing to be in its presence. At the same time, I just had that feeling like, you know, don't start again. You know, don't start that shit. I even asked him on the, I said, you know, on the video, I said, is there some kind of personal protection prayer? And he goes, well, it's on the back of the box. I said, no, don't worry about that. We don't need to see it no more. But, and he had said something like, you know, Jesus and da, 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 and he did this for us and all that. So, you know, I'm fine now, knock wood, come home, but not empty-handed, Demon Hunter.
Not empty-handed?
Not empty-handed, because you do know in the studio we have a collection of certain artifacts and the rock from Gettysburg that caused so much problems for us.
I have yours, or I have mine and Doug's, because Doug didn't want to keep his anymore.
Yeah, and everybody knows we went to a place in Gettysburg where the rocks were there and they're supposed to have energy to them and stuff. And we did have a couple things happen because Gettysburg, Pennsylvania is supposed to be haunted. But
Jocelyn, the haunted doll.
Yes, you have Jocelyn, the haunted doll. So Nathan and I collected these things over the years. Jason, and thank you very much, Jason, sent me a book. And before I left, he gave me my own Dybbuk box. Hopefully, demon not included, because, and I got to tell you, Nathan, it's inside, he gave me, now the actual Dybbuk box, the prayer box, let's just say the prayer box, because Dybbuk is meant to believe a clinging spirit.
Attachment, yeah.
Yeah, so I took the box is still in the back of the car.
Wife won't let you bring it in yet, huh?
Well, you guys are hearing about this for the first time because Stacy said, I don't want to hear about it yet. She goes, I'm not ready. So I told her, you know, whatever it is, I'll leave it out there. She said, I'm really not too excited about it right now because it scared my family, as it should have.
Mm-hmm.
And because our house should have blown up and killed us all, Nathan. The pilot light was going. The gas levels, I can't stress enough how extreme the gas levels were in the house. And the pilot light was burning on the water heater. The guy said we should have been dead, all of us. So...
And that insurance policy I took out on you the day before it happened has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, it's fine. You want to come after me, that's fine. I know the dangers of what Nathan and I do. We've accepted that. But don't leave our families alone. Your wife, my wife, our kids, leave it alone, you know? So Jason gave me my own box, old wine box, Dybbuk box, whatever you call it. And he actually gave me artifacts to put in it that are... the exact artifacts that are inside the Dybbuk box. So that will be joining us as soon as it's smudged, possibly blessed, and that will be joining us down here in studio. My dream is to take the box and put it in some kind of glass casing and put it next to his book and a poster of the possession, a small poster of the possession.
Awesome.
Anybody never seen that movie? It was really good. But that was my adventure. We were in the presence of true evil. I believe that. And you always know something has... I mean, it came out of the Holocaust, dude. Even if there is nothing in it and you don't buy into that, it's seen some wicked stuff. So, anyway, Demon Hunter.
Ghost Man.
Without further ado, we are at 7:34.
We still got a few minutes if you'd like to discuss your Halloween prep.
Well, yeah, I could do that, but we could go straight to the news. You want to wait for the...
You want to wait till the break or stop halfway through?
It doesn't matter. We can wait for the break before we go to news. Anyway, yeah, Halloween party coming up, the Burr's Bash, October 25th. Mm-hmm. And I've been out all day fixing this thing up. I've showed you the pictures, man. You seen these decorations I'm doing?
It's insane, man. You're pretty much doing your own house haunt.
Yeah, I mean, sort of, and I really dig that.
A home haunter, man, a home haunter.
Yeah, I dig that more building this stuff than I think I do drinking beer at the party. So, Yeah, it's been fun, and I've been working real hard on it, Stacy and me, the whole family. And this time of year is just so great, man, because it is a family affair. And you know, strangers get involved, too. I mean, I think our friend Victor Barito, that came on the show from The American Scream, he said, you know, Halloween is the only time of year where everybody gets involved. Christmas, Thanksgiving is a family holiday. Halloween is open to others, you know, sharing in each other's joy and light and the dark time of year in the history. So, yeah, man, I'm very excited about this year. And the party's going to be great. It's a shame that you're not going to come to that.
Well, I will actually be up spending, as you know, my wife Chrissy P and I did not get to do our anniversary trip this year. Mm-hmm. So I will actually be up taking a haunted tour of the location where she and I got married that weekend.
Oh, the cave.
Yep.
Now, what's the story on that? The cave.
Cavern cave. Apparently, several years back, you know, when the cave was still a tour cave, but also was connected directly to a limestone quarry, The gas leaked into the cave, and the people in the cave couldn't get out fast enough.
Let's not talk about gas too much more, will you?
And died. And so, you know, it said that, and I've been down there, it's dead quiet. There's a stream, and you know how you hear that trickling stream? Sometimes you'll hear voices. It's that almost audio pareidolia from, like, seeing a face in a picture that's not really there. But you hear stuff down there, and it's not really clear where it's coming from or what it is, and it's pretty freaky. So they invited Chrissy and I up to return for kind of our anniversary, and they're going to be taking us on the haunted tour.
Oh, wow. That's going to be great, man. Are they charging you, or did you say it's free?
No, it's we're paying for our room when we get up there, of course, but right. They're not charging us to do the tour. So.
You know, it's something that our wedding anniversaries are so close together, because this time last year, actually yesterday, the 11th, Stacy and I got married, so it's our 1 year. So happy anniversary, babe, if you're listening.
And you brought her home a Dybbuk box. Such a nice man.
I did. That she doesn't know about yet. I don't think I'm going to... I don't think I'm going to wrap it up, you know? It's one of those things. But I'm not going to bring it into the studio, man, until it's been... I bought some sage, and I'm going to smudge it, and I think the house needs smudged anyway, just for good measure after what's happened. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, man. Well, what do you say we take that two-second break for the folks over at 102.7 The Hog and Action Audio Apps, and we'll be right back.
Okay. Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. And since we paid the bills, yeah, let's go right into it. Tonight's G&D show, in the news. It's always fresh. It's always exciting. It's fun and mostly new. And it's straight from the G&D show vault. It starts right...
Ow.
Ooh, that drowned you out. But he said now, folks. I got the end of the ow.
Ow.
Ow. The end of the ow is what I got.
Ow.
Yeah. Yeah. Very excited about it. Each week, Demon Hunter, we bring him new news stories, or try to. You want me to lead us off? Am I up to bat?
Sure, folks. Just remember that this is the G&D in the news, which means Sean and I pick the news right out of the paper. We don't read the stories first. We just take the titles we like. That means there's a lot of mistakes, and every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's a G&D drinking game. Since we make a lot of mistakes, we do recommend that if you're listening to us while driving, don't play the G&D drinking game. And if you're planning on doing anything important tonight, like propose to your one and only, please listen responsibly.
I'm ready for sex.
Yes. Because you won't be getting any of that if you get drunk tonight.
That's right.
First story, guys, up the bat. G&D show news straight out the vaults. Crematorium fire caused by 500-pound body in Virginia. You guys interested? I am.
I am.
Yeah, here goes. It takes 2 to 3 hours to burn the average body in a crematorium, but it only takes minutes for a 500-pound body to burn the roof off a crematorium. Yeah, I like that. A fire that lit up the roof of the crematorium in Henrico County, Virginia, was caused by the corpse of an obese man that got way too hot in the furnace. Jerry Hendricks. He got hot in the furnace, Demon Hunter.
That happens to the bad people.
Yeah, well, you've been around that, so you can talk a little bit.
Oh, I used to repair those furnaces. My job was to crawl into them and patch them.
Ooh. That's a
first. Yeah, I've had some crazy jobs.
It's a nasty job. You should call Mike Rowe. Jerry Hendricks, a manager at the Southside Cremation Services, says he'd never worked with a body that large in his 20 years on the job. The body generated enough heat that the firefighters said the rubber roofing near the smokestack was ignited. When the person is too heavy, the guy running the crematorium needs to not have continuous heat coming down on the body. Emery Stanford, a worker at another local crematorium, told the WTKR news team, otherwise it would get too hot. Of course it would get too hot. Anyway, guys, the body of an average-sized adult takes 2 or 3 hours to cremate in a 2,000-degree crematorium. According to the Cremation Society of Virginia's website, larger bodies take longer. According to the station, Lynn Helmick, the deputy executive director of the boards of funeral directors and embalmers, said cremation facilities do undergo state inspections. However, she was unable to provide details into the last time Southside Cremation Services was inspected.
Well, you know, those places do, you know, those machines cost a lot, Sean, so they do keep them running pretty well, because if they go down, that's a lot of money to repair them. So I got a feeling we are just looking at a larger than average body burning, and that much, and those things burn so hot. It's, I think we used to keep ours at about 1,800 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah, because when they burn, they have to burn hot enough to actually burn the smoke. So when you drive past a crematorium, you do not see, you know, smoke coming out of the chimney. All you see is that little heat ruffle coming out of the top.
Yeah.
Because they burn so hot, they want to keep all that, that they don't want anything polluting the air. So they burn at like 1600 to 1800 degrees. And there's actually more burners inside the chimney to keep burning the smoke. So
remember, I always think that's going to be like Return of the Living Dead, when they burn the body and the smoke comes out and it starts that acid rain and it infects the rest of the cemeteries.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Oh,
those were the days.
Those were the good days. That's when you worked there, you know, the zombie attacks.
Yeah, well, that's why I kept those zombie attacks in check.
You kept us safe.
Yes, that was my job. Hey, man, police arrest a tar-covered man in a gas station roof.
No!
I don't know why he was tar-covered. Let's find out.
Let's find out together.
This comes to us from AP, Associated Press. At Daytona Beach, Florida. When police in Daytona Beach, Florida found a man covered in tar on the roof of a closed gas station before dawn, they told him he was visiting. He told them he was visiting family. They didn't believe it. The Daytona News Journal reported Thursday the 30-year-old man then tried to cover himself, convince officers he was a repairman who was atop the Sunco station at 3 a.m. By the way, folks, two mistakes there. Have a drink. Tuesday, because he heard the air conditioner making noise. The officers didn't believe that one either. Finally, police say he told them he has been sleeping on the roof and had smeared himself with tar so they wouldn't see him.
What, the helicopters or what?
Yes. Police say that since he had been praying, he had a prying tool with him. Have another drink, folks. They think he was a would-be burglar and arrested him for attempted burglary of an unoccupied structure.
Oh, great.
Possession of burglary tools and criminal mischief. Well, first of all, if he was... why would you break into a, like, abandoned gas station? Two, this gives a whole new meaning to tar and feathering.
Why did he sleep on the roof? Couldn't he afford, like, a Motel 6 or something?
Well, I guess if he was homeless, he couldn't, but he didn't even try. Those were just some lame excuses.
Yeah, they leave the light on for you. I mean, no.
Yeah, but they still expect to get paid.
Well, yeah, that's true. So is that it? Tar-covered man, he got arrested?
Hey, Tarkover Man got arrested. It sounded like it would be funnier when I put it up.
No, it does. Indianapolis Airport debuts customer service robot, Demon Hunter.
Really?
Of course, it happened Thursday when I was driving to Missouri. Yeah.
Instead of taking a plane.
Yeah, I'd never heard about this. A new customer service robot. Thanks to our friends for the Associated Press for this one. A new customer service robot has started roaming around the passenger terminal of Indianapolis International Airport. The robot was rolled out Thursday with a staffer guiding it remotely around the baggage claim areas, greeting travelers and looking for anyone who needed assistance. The robot looks like a miniature Segway. This is great. My folks can't even figure out how to book a reservation. Now they got to talk to a robot. The robot looks like a miniature Segway, but with a blue customer service shirt and an interactive iPod on top showing the face of the employee piloting it. That's awesome. Guest services director Brian Exton drove the robot remotely with a camera lens on the iPad, giving him a wide view of its surroundings and the travelers on the terminal's ground floor. They don't have to come up the escalator to talk to us at guest services, Exton told WRTV. We actually assist them right there. Tell them what zone their transportation is going out of or what baggage claim area where lost and found is. Many travelers didn't seem to know what to make of the robot on its first day. Some waved to it, while others took photos. When Cliff Williams was told he could ask the robot questions, he said he wasn't ready to do that yet. We better step up. They're having sex with him in Japan, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we got to step up to the plate. I'd rather ask a human a question than a machine, Williams told me.
I just don't want the airport robot to walk up to me and go, come with me if you want to live.
Come with me if you want to. We're going to have to unionize the robots. We're going to have to do that. They need lunch breaks, too. Anyway, he says he wants to ask questions to a human rather than a machine. The Indianapolis Star was who reported that with Mr. Williams. At this point, I'm good with just gawking at it, he said. Other travelers said they liked the robot idea. I think it's fantastic, Joe Asson said. It's great customer service. He's a nice guy, by the way. The robot. I guess the robot. Airport officials are holding a contest among employees to come up with a name for the robot. The robot also will be used when the guest desk is closed. Ah, robots taken away.
See, this is the problem, Sean. This is a test run. They're going to replace all airport employees with robots.
See? There it goes. We're out of there. Pretty soon, though, the robot will go nuts and strangle somebody, and they'll have to...
It's gained consciousness.
It's a, yes, the lost and found is, die, die! Pull out its laser beam out of its eyes. The robot also will be used to replace the guest desk, of course. That counter is staffed from 5 a.m. until 11 p.m. Sunday through Friday and 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday. It's got to be better than the people who work there now. Their personalities suck. Anyway, airport spokesman Cario Baroli said the robot... Drink up, guys. Said the robot will be tried out in different parts of the passenger terminal. We've experimented with it at the gates and other places, he said. It seems especially useful, drink up, guys, to people who want to know where to catch taxis or shuttle buses. So there you go. How long until the ticket counters are gone all the time? They already have kiosks.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, sooner or later, everybody's going to be gone. You're right. No sick days, no vacation time.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time, man. Pretty soon you'll go into McDonald's and there'll be a little keypad there and a robot will bring you your meal, too.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll mess up its orders just like they do the TV.
Well, yeah, it'll be programmed to do that so you get that real-life McDonald's experience.
See, there you go, buddy. There you go.
Hey, dude, a masked bandit apologized and kissed a couple after robbing them.
Oh, this was not in the United States.
Actually, you're right, it wasn't.
Actually,
it was in Guam. A masked gunman in Guam apologized to two employees of a small casino and... hugged and kissed them before fleeing with more than $5,000.
Hmm.
The man wearing a camouflage baseball cap and a black ski mask entered the Lucky Land gaming room Wednesday night with a silver handgun, sending between 6 to 8 customers screaming to the exits, the Pacific Daily News reported. The video shows the gunman approaching the office window where employee Geneve Santos was working, and her boyfriend Jan Olivares,
Jan,
have a drink, 24, an off-duty employee was hanging out. The masked man demanded the money and told Santos, and Santos said the video footage shows him stuffing the cage, the cash, into a bag. Boy, people are getting drunk on this one. Before demanding access to the office, he said if he didn't open the door, he was going to shoot, so I had no choice. She said, sorry, have another drink. Yeah. Inside, he commanded, he continued to grab cash and took Oliveri's wallet, which contained $200 and his ID. Santos said she couldn't stop crying, which prompted the bandit to wrap the couple in a hug, then kissed Oliveras on the neck and Santos on the forehead. Santos said he apologized, saying, I'm sorry, you were the ones working. When she told the robber they didn't have money to renew his her boyfriend's license, he returned the ID and gave him $7.
Wow. So did he go to prison or anything?
No, but it doesn't say they caught him. Doesn't say they caught him.
What a nice guy.
What a nice thief. Yeah. But that's my news, Sean.
That's it. In the news, Demon Hunter, you know what time it is. It's time for the premiere of...
the season premiere.
Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Hi, this is Matt Milk from the Zombie Research Society. And here's your weekly update from the G&D Zombie Alert System. Now back to you, Sean and Nate.
Gotta keep him safe, Demon Hunter.
That's right. Hey, folks, you know Sean and I work hard scanning the internet weekly. The CDC, the World Health Organization, and many more places. NOAA, you know, Oceanographic, everything, just to try and keep track of oil spills, chemical spills, diseases that could come out that could cause you to possibly face a zombie apocalypse.
See?
They say it can't happen, but hey... You know, they said Ebola would never come to America. And because Ebola is now in America, we have reached the state of guarded, folks.
We are.
That's right. Only in America could we have every drug under the sun to protect ourselves, and we allow a disease like this to come into our country. Sightings now, not only in Dallas, Sean, but in Boston, possibly.
Oh, no.
They've just evacuated a hospital area due to a possible case of Ebola in Boston. I'm not saying it's in Boston, folks, but reports have come in that a man was sighted with Ebola symptoms and the area was evacuated.
You know, I guess...
Considering the fact that diseases mutate and as Americans we like to play with diseases, this is definitely a danger zone, raising us to guarded. Be on your lookout, folks, and please, due to the fact that this is a dangerous disease that's already out there, beyond the joke of or not joke, true facts, zombie apocalypse possibilities, play safe, folks. Be careful. Look up the rules. Go to the CDC website. See what you can do to keep yourself safe and be safe out there.
I don't know. I you know, the thing about the Ebola, the CDC came out last week and they said, don't worry, we have the medications to keep this at bay. So if you contract it and they get it early enough, apparently you can be saved. But the question is, everybody that's had it so far is dead.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, if it gets out to the population of people who don't have the money to go to the doctors when they start showing signs and don't know what the signs are, that's how you get plague started.
Yeah, and then all you need to do is get the guys on PCP again. They start ripping people's faces off, then the disease is transmitted through saliva, through bodily fluids.
We're combine done. A little Ebola with some, what was it, bath salts, and we've got a real problem.
They got a real problem there. I remember when I was going to grade school, or when I was in grade school, the big thing was Ryan White here in Indiana with the AIDS outbreak, remember?
Yeah, definitely.
People were pulling their kids out of school. They didn't know how this thing was transmitted. They thought just a sneeze would pass it on, or touching them would pass this on. I remember the huge scare, and I feel like we're going that way again.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I have a daughter in preschool, and think about how nasty kids are. They slobber all over balls and stuff, but that's very scary because we can't let our youths get that. When that happens,
we're in trouble.
Yeah, when that happens, and God, I hope We don't see that. Anyway, guys, that's the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show Zombie Advisory System. We'll be showing that every Sunday now that The Walking Dead's back on, so you can be prepared with us.
Yes, because we all know when it comes down to it, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is the only place to survive a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, that's it. You can listen to us.
Hey, Sean, but you know what the zombie apocalypse leads right into?
Absolutely, guys. Well, not only season 5 premiere of The Walking Dead tonight, but you guys know what time it is now. That's right, guys. It's the premiere of Rot Talk with the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. Woo-hoo! Where each week we come up with what we think's going to happen, Demon Hunter, on The Walking Dead.
That's right, folks. This is the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, Rot Talk, where we talk about what we have seen and what we think will happen on The Walking Dead. It is not spoiler-free, so if you don't want to hear it, please stick your fingers in your ears and go la 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 until we're done.
Absolutely. Now let's recap what happened. Where they left us off of, what, 4 months ago or 6 months? 6 months ago.
6 months ago.
Yeah, 6 months ago, guys, everybody was on the long journey to fight each other, and then they found the signs Terminus. They had been talking about it throughout the show. You'd heard it kind of come across the radio waves, and everybody was wondering and scratching their heads. But now it's here. They found it, at least most of the group found it. They met each other again. What I don't understand is when Rick and everybody arrived in the camp, everybody was so nice. They had to check them out. It was too nice. I mean, come on. Who out there knew when they were walking into the gates was like, wait, they didn't even lock the gate? They just walked right in. You know, that leaves a bunch of questions. How did they protect themselves from walkers? How did they do this? Anyway, they left us last year with the guys, the crew of The Walking Dead, locked in a train car. And while they were running through the train yard, you heard people in other train cars screaming, help, help, help. And you also seen bodies smoldering, human bodies. I just assumed it was.
It looked as though the flesh had been cleaved from the bone, John.
It did. It did. And, you know, we talked about the a lot of the spoilers on the previews they've been showing.
That's right.
And they showed this last one with Rick and all of them hands tied behind the back, their heads over a trough like they were going to be executed, a man walking behind them with a big baseball bat. They also showed a clip of a couple guys that looked like they were sawing meat off of the bone of someone, of something, either a walker or a human. So the question is tonight, our guest that's coming on, him and Carol, Tyrese and Carol, are two of the ones that have not yet made it to Terminus.
And you've got to remember, too, Sean, that you've got a lot of the comic book fans who are also TV show fans who are a little worried by that baseball bat. Because those of you who watch that bit, you know, they show Glenn with his head over that trough with everybody else, somebody walking past him with a baseball bat. And in the comic book, Glenn does finally catch it through a baseball bat.
Really?
Yes, yes. He's killed by a group called the Survivors, and that's how he meets his end. So a lot of people are worried. Also, if you remember last year when Rick and Carol went out to try and find supplies, and Rick was really getting ready to tell Carol she had to go out on her own, they met up with that young couple. If you look in that trailer, the young man at the very end of the trough, that's the young man from that met up with them on the trip.
Yes, it is.
Yes, so, it is. I mean, there's definitely some joining up here. And the producers of the shows have said, expect some major characters to die early on.
Absolutely. So the mystery...
It's completely possible for the major characters to lose it early on. So people are worried about Glenn right now.
They're worried about Glenn. Now, I know there's also some talk about the new villain that's supposed to trump the governor. I guess he executes with a baseball bat, too.
Which is, if his name happens to be Negan, we're in some real trouble.
Negan. Why? Who was Negan?
The one that kills Glenn.
How'd you find that out?
Well, because I'm also a fan of the comic book. But right. Remember, the TV show and the comic book have split apart on several occasions.
Yeah, and of course, Negan, like you said, is the new guy. I think you told me about him.
Probably.
So that's it in a nutshell. Rot Talk, Demon Hunter, real quick, what do you think happens tonight? Hunt or be hunted, The Walking Dead Season 5 premiere. What's going to happen?
I think that we're going to see some quick turnaround by Rick's cleverness to save these folks and give them a chance to get away. But I do think that we'll probably see a few of the major characters now get split up yet again, because if this is Negan or whoever is running Terminus, isn't going to let just everybody up and leave to get this guy back to Washington, D.C., you might see another split season where one group is held hostage while the other group has to go out and fight for their lives.
And you got to remember, tonight's guest, actor Chad Coleman, Tyrese on the show, is still coming to coming to Terminus. So who knows what he's going to bring? You never know.
As long as he doesn't bring Ebola.
Yes, please don't bring Ebola to the camp. That would be terrible. Anyway, guys, that's not Demon Hunter's predictions for tonight. I'm not saying anything because I'm at a loss right now. I have no idea what's going to happen, and that's the way I like to keep it. But I do think Tyrese is going to come in this episode. They got a lot of stuff to cover fast. People are going to look for answers because some people thought at the end of last week's or last season, it was kind of lame where Rick said they don't know who they're messing with or they're messing with the wrong people. And people thought, what are you talking about? You know, they thought it was kind of lame. Anyway, Demon Hunter, do we need to pay the bills or?
You need to pay the bills and have some music and move on.
All right. Do we want to run the, pay the bills bumper before we go to break?
Sure. Why not?
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. Go ahead. Run the bumper.
Oh, I don't have the bumper. I thought you had the bumper.
No, I don't have the bumper.
Well, then let's not play the bumper.
Well, let's not do the bumper. Anyway, guys, tonight's guest. Yeah, that was funny. Tonight's guest, actor Chad Coleman, Tyrese from The Walking Dead, stops by studio. He is going to be here to kick off season 5, guys. This is hardcore, so get ready to go behind the scenes of The Walking Dead with one of the most beloved characters. Yes, I cannot wait, man. We brought him three. This is our third Walking Dead person, right, Demon Hunter?
Yeah, why aren't we on Talking Dead yet? I tell you, we will have to ask him about that when he comes on the show.
Yeah, why aren't we on there? Maybe he'll give us a...
He can get us on.
Yeah, maybe. Tonight's band, Demon Hunter, Distemper, the name of the song, At Dawn. Guys, we'll be right back.
Matt Moak from the Zombie Research Society, also seen on AMC's Talking Dead. And you listen to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. We got a hot one tonight's guest. He's an American actor best known for his work on the HBO series The Wire, and most recently, the smash AMC classic The Walking Dead portrayal of Tyrese. Help us welcome Mr. Chad Coleman to the studio. Chad, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm in the house, man. Good to be in the house.
I know it's early, man. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York right now.
Oh, so we're the same time then. I thought you was out in sunny Cali. It'd be like, what, 5 a.m. there right now?
Yeah, not according to Geno Smith, but yeah, about that.
Hey, man, I got to tell you, the first time I seen you, and I know you've been doing the acting thing for a long time, the first time I seen you was as Z on Always Sunny.
Oh my God, what an introduction.
Hey man, that was classic. I loved it.
Oh man, it was a lot of fun playing with those guys. They at one point I had done a pilot with them for Fox. It was gonna be a network show for them.
Yeah.
Called Boldly Going Nowhere, the comedy, and that's when they found out. They were huge fans of The Wire, especially Charlie Day. And that's when they found out I could do comedy. And then they say, hey, come and do, since that show didn't go, come and do Always Sunny with us. So I always try to get in there a couple times a year, you know, each season anyway.
Yeah, those are good people, man.
I got to say, Chad, I got to say, when my roommates saw that you were, coming on the show, My roommate, of course, his first thing was, oh, The Wire. He started talking about The Wire. But my wife, my wife just recognized you from CSI Miami.
Oh, wow. Man, you have a big standing ovation for me, man. I do appreciate that. That was a brief shining moment, so I'm glad she caught that one. I thought you was going to say Criminal Minds.
Well, she's a big fan of Criminal Minds, too. Those are all her kind of shows, but she has every face from CSI Miami burned into her brain. Speaking of which, you know, I loved you on Burn Notice.
Wow. That was the beardless Chad. Man, yeah, that was fun, too.
I got to tell you, Chad, the reason why you're one of America's favorites and why you're our favorite is you're so approachable, man. And you're so real, and people feel like they can pull up next to you, have a drink, and chat away like, you know, they're your best friend. And that's how you come off on screen and in real life. And I was just going to ask, you know, as a kid from Richmond, Virginia, into track and
field,
all the stuff you did, man. And thanks for your service, by the way. You were in the United States Army between 85 and 89, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Amazing time, too.
Yeah. How did you get started, man? How does a solid guy like you all of a sudden get into the thing and say, I'm going to do this? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, it started early. It started real early. I by the time I was a sophomore in high school, I knew this is what I wanted to do with my life. And, you know, so, I mean, it was a gift. I think I started out really loving language, you know. I love reading Dr. Seuss, and, you know, and moved from there to the Scholastic magazine in school to play in the back for whatever reason, because it was inside me. I would always try to do it for real, and everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy. But it was just a gift. It was just inside me. And, you know, then I moved along, and you know, as I was actually accepted into NYU for theater, but long story short, Ronald Reagan kind of screwed me out of that full scholarship to NYU. Yeah. So I ended up going to Virginia Commonwealth University for a year, but I wanted to be in New York so bad, I went into the military. When I went into the military is when I started lifting weights, and that's when the size came from.
And you didn't stop.
I was a little dude. And As a senior, I looked like an eighth grader in high school.
Wow.
I wasn't a big dude. I had a big mouth, but I wasn't a big dude, man.
Wow, because I was going to say, you're huge, man. So you started lifting, didn't stop.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, man. When you're small, you can't see what's going down. And then somebody called on, like, the barracks phone.
Yeah.
And I was at the end of the hall, and I heard him say, hey, he said, oh, you talking about Big Chad? I was like, who is Big Chad? I was like, oh, that's me. Okay. And then, then I realized, I was like, oh, okay, I got
some
size on you, man. Yeah. But, you know, it's funny when you're small and you can't see it. You know, I mean, I obviously see it now.
I understand that completely. Among my friends and especially my family, I'm the smallest guy in the group, where I always was. And a couple of years ago, there was a wedding, and we went to the wedding, and I stood in the middle of the picture and realized I stretched my arms out and wrapped my arms around, like, everybody in the picture. And they took the picture, and I realized, now I'm bigger than everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It just hits you in those weird moments. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, okay, the light goes on.
So, Chad, when you started out, what was one of your first jobs or your earliest jobs? You knew you wanted to be in acting. But usually a lot of us have to do other things. Like, you know, we had a TV show. We'd love to get back because we, you know how it is, man. But you got to work full time. You got the kids. You got the family stuff. I mean, how do you, what kind of jobs did you have? How did you cope with it?
New York was for UPS. I was a driver for UPS.
Sweet
and,
job.
Of course, they fired me, so... Thanks, guys.
Brown is wrong, baby.
It was what you call, I was working for them during the Christmas season, and I tapped the reflector on a police officer, undercover guy's car, and they were like, it's a chargeable accident. You can't have a chargeable accident. All the guys were like, Ted, you should fight it. You should fight it. But I was... I told them, I'm like, guys, I told you I came to New York to be an actor, so it's okay. I'm going to be fine.
Right.
And so then I went and I was a stand-in on the Cosby Show.
Oh!
And so, I got a chance to... There's a professional job that so the actors don't have to stand on their feet all the time when the technical people are working to... you know, get the camera shots right.
Right.
They'll have a stand-in. So I was a stand-in for Michael Jamal Warner and all of the other guys.
Wow.
So I did that. And that was the next gig I had. And that, of course, just to be around Bill Cosby and to watch that genius.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I actually befriended Michael Jamal Warner. And so it was a great experience, but they fired me too. I was on the track.
So you're the lost Huxtable.
Exactly.
And now
if you were as big then as you are now, Chad, we can only figure that you were standing there and they're going, you know, we can't get the right lighting with this guy for Cosby. It's just.
And now I think Cosby was intimidated by the muscles.
He probably was.
Get out of here. Trying to take my girls from me.
See, they could have said, Chad, you're fired. And you say, no, I'm not. You're right, Chad. You're not fired. Come on back. Hey, listen. Smash hit, dude. Your career has exploded, and it should have like this. Well, you were big before, but The Walking Dead, dude. People are with you every Sunday. We do a fan-based thing on our show. We even edited the times of our show to format around The Walking Dead. The world's waiting. It premieres back season 5 this Sunday. Dude, what's it like? How did you get the call? We've had some, you know, Scott Wilson, amazing. We had Michael Rooker on, and now we got you.
Oh, I love it.
I mean.
Love Scott Wilson, man. Scott Wilson is a living legend, man. I love him to death.
Oh, man. He loves you, too. He had nothing but good things, man.
You know, it's funny, Sean. I was actually watching Scott last night on Face Off because they were doing a special episode of Heads Being Cut Off, and he was the guest star.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and we're gonna
Scott
be
said it all, man.
We're gonna be real careful today, Chad, because I know when Scott came on, he said he made a reference to a head in a grocery bag in his closet, and that was for the episode.
Oh
But it was blended in there where we could, we kind of edited around it, so it was cool.
It was better than, I was telling Chad before, it was better than we had when we had Michael on and I made the crack. So Michael, what are people going to think when you die tonight? And he died.
Wow.
And so we're avoiding all questions about death this evening, except The Walking Dead itself.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's steer clear.
That's it. That's it. What's it like, Chad?
What's it like, man? It's like being at an amusement park, bro. It's a hell of a ride. It's the most fun I've ever had. It's rock star kind of stuff, man. It's pretty incredible.
I can't imagine, man. What's it like out there? Are you ever going to get off the railroad tracks, man? I guess you can't say, but
no, you guys saw the promo, so the promo gave away something.
Gave away a lot.
We are going to be reunited.
Right.
It's how we get reunited is what I can't speak on, right. But we will be reunited. That'll be one of the few warm and fuzzy moments on the show.
Yeah.
This season. So that does happen. And it's pretty amazing how it all goes down. But yeah, we do have a reunion. We do get back together, and of course, all hell breaks loose again. So
yeah.
You know, I gotta say, Chad, when Walking Dead first came out, and you know, over the last several seasons, every time the new season is coming around,
yeah,
I don't know, they are really tough on how they how strict they are on, you know, not letting any secrets leak out. But this year, the promos seemed like everybody was sending around going, "These promos are not spoiler free,"
right. That's correct. To a certain degree, which tells you, then, guess what you don't know? If we're willing to give that up, you know, guess what's coming? That's what that's about. It's so unrelenting, and it's just foot on the gas, and there's so much going on, they could afford to drop those things. So it's going to be unreal. It's bigger than anything we've done. That's the truth. No hype or exaggeration needed.
You should see the boards, Ted. Rumors always flying around. I heard yesterday there was a Walking Dead chat site. Somebody said this season we're going to have a gay man character, that someone's going to come out and say that he is, in fact, homosexual, and that somebody in the group, and there was a big thing about that, and I was watching the people talk about it, and then somebody said, Daryl's going to be dead, somebody said, you're dead, somebody said, the whole group's dead, and I was listening to all this going, you people don't know nothing.
And I honestly think that it's all these leaks are hoaxes by the production company to really get people hooked on. But they don't get it. We're already hooked.
That's right.
Wow. I can't call that shot, but that would be a hell of an approach to try to continue to drum up business. Somebody in the back room of AMC making prank calls and being online. That's pretty wild.
Well, how do you cope with that, Chad? Knowing that if you go on your Twitter, make one wrong tweet, that's it. I mean, the rumor mill goes crazy. How do you cope like that every day, having to keep it quiet, you know?
Yeah. You know what, man? I mean, I engage the fans, and I definitely am a proponent of social media, but I just keep it all in context, you know?
Right.
And I understand there's a certain faction of people that are going to be into that, just like we have conspiracy theorists and things of that nature. So it's okay. I really don't take it too serious, but I also, you know, want to stay connected with the fans. It is a great way to get closer, you know. So I want to respect that part of it, and just I leave the rest of it alone, you know.
Yeah,
I don't like people that specifically. I mean, why would you want to spoil it? I'm like, come on. I mean, don't you want the fullest experience you can have?
Yeah.
But we live in America, man, so...
That's it. People can't wait.
Hey,
yeah,
you obviously, that the show airs. I've seen you on Talking Dead after the show in the past. You go on there. You've got this crowd of people. They've all just watched the show with you, and you know, they're hollering your name.
Yeah,
this must be a new experience in television.
Yeah, you know, it's an adrenaline rush. It really is. I mean, this thing doesn't happen. This kind of juggernaut, you know, doesn't happen very often.
Right.
So, we're riding until the wheels fall off, man. Because it's just a lot of fun, you know. The work is hard, and, you know, we all go all in, and we go hard on a job. So when it comes to the times that we get to hang with the fans, you know, we just like to cut loose and have fun with them, too. So,
oh, yeah.
I've heard the heat down in Georgia while you're filming is something to be abhorred.
Yeah, the heat feels like it's smacking you in your face. Oof. Like just literally going, just whipping you around.
Oh, yeah.
And we keep complaining that this is going to change. And it's like, hello, 10 seconds ago, you just said, damn, it's hot.
Yeah.
and you just keep going, damn, it's hot. And you just don't stop because it's like a heating lamp.
It's humid, too.
Are there PAs running around with ice bags for everybody?
You got it. You got it with Gatorade and water, and then they start giving out those cool down towels.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but you really have to do it because you know, messing around if somebody gets heat exhaustion or you know something severe, you don't want that to go down. So
now, listen, Chad. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, now listen, we've been on the air 8 years. We're the biggest Walking Dead fan show out there that hasn't been put on TV yet. The Nerdist. Yeah, turned into the Talking Dead. But we're the biggest one out there without the sponsorship. Could you give us something that you haven't given anybody else live on our show? Tell us anything that somebody that you ain't going to tell nobody. Come on, Chad, give us something that I can promote, man. Throw me a bone, brother. Throw me a bone.
Catapult
my career,
Chad. Listen, man, I can't promote you at my expense. Yeah, I love you, bro. I do.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chad. Next time you're on The Talking Dead, just tell Chris, I met these two guys. You got to have them on the show.
I can do that.
All right.
I heard something interesting about that boy's worth like over $20 million.
Yeah.
See, we got in the wrong end of podcasting. He started the Nerdist. We did the wrong.
Yeah, I know.
There you go. Oh, so you guys knew about it. I didn't know anything about it. I found out I was in Vegas with another comedian, and he told me that. I was like, okay, didn't know that.
Oh. Well, you know, the trick is he knows the secret. He makes sure in his contract it doesn't stop him from doing other jobs. So as soon as he's done with one, he jumps to the next.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Hey, swinging on the vine.
Chad, people always want to know on The Walking Dead. I know I do. When we're sitting there watching it, and I'm watching you walk down the tracks with Carol, and, you know, that little house in the last season that you guys went into. People want to know details. Like, was that a pre-existing home and they just shut down that whole area to make it, you know, excluded from everything else? I mean, how do they create that? Was that house already there and they just did that or what?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was already there. It was a location that we got fantastic location people that go out there and find the most amazing scenes. It's real stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That's just how they do it. They're incredible at their job, so. Yeah, that was all real, and which makes it even greater, you know, because you just feel like you're right there and, you know, no acting required.
You ever get, I know when we had our TV show, we was going out looking for monsters and ghosts and stuff, and some of the places we went to, you know, when the camera went off, you went to the bathroom or something, sometimes you get a little spooked looking over your shoulder. I was just wondering, when you're out there, like at a scene at night and you're dark and you look over the hill and there's 5,000 walkers coming in a herd, does it ever just kind of give you a chill for a second every once in a while, even though you know it's actors?
Yeah, you know, I pee a little bit. I pee a tiny bit. Just a small little bit sometimes.
Walking Dead, promoted by Depends.
See, Chad Coleman said he peed his pants live on our show, everybody. I can promote that. See? You gave it.
It's a tiny bit. It's come up before. Hey, you know, but it is dark out there, boy.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's no joke. It's dark out there.
Come on.
Truly in the woods, man. And, you know, what Greg Nicotero and those guys do. It's so amazing. Oh, yeah, it can catch you like that sometimes.
Yeah. So what happened? I mean, I know we got to wrap up here soon, but what happened? You just got the call one day? How'd that all get down? Did you have to audition?
I did audition, but I have to give big ups, as always, to Robert Kirkman, the creator. He saw me on The Wire. He saw my work on The Wire. And he's like, that's Tyrese. So he went to AMC and said, you know, Chad Coleman. And they were like, yeah, okay, but we got to see other people. He's like, okay, but it's Chad Coleman. They were like, yeah, but we need to see so-and-so. Yeah, see him, but it's Chad Coleman. And, you know, he went to bat for me. And then I came in and put some stuff down on tape, and it was a go. So I was like, you know, I'm forever indebted to my man. And I was glad that he was in my corner, you know.
That's
you know, Chad, there's you know, the people who are watching, the people who are fans, the people who enter the contest to be a walker and stuff like that, they all want to know how they can wind up as an extra on the show, as a Walking Dead. Do they actually, like, do different rounds of interviews or auditions to be dead, or do they just use the same people over and over again?
No, I mean, it's open. You just have to go. I was told the best thing to do is Google The Walking Dead Atlanta casting, and then there's a link that where you can request to be a walker, and then they just call you. But these people, I mean, I got to give major credit. Come on, that's a huge part of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Without them, we wouldn't have the show. So. You're talking about, at one point there was like 700, you know, people who were just willing to be in that makeup and be out in that heat and just, you know, brave the element just to make the show what it is. So I'm always applauding, and we all are, we always applauding them because they do make it happen.
And all you gotta,
you know, the physical stuff we have to do, you know, sometimes they get clipped. Say, oops, sorry, you know, but they hang in there, man, and they really do. They're a huge part of the show.
They get an axe pick from through the head by Tyrese. Hey,
right.
Yeah.
But fortune is a rubber.
Yeah. Hey, well, yeah, when you got out of that car, man, that was epic, smashing that in heads, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that was one of those times where they ended up, you know, I got scratched up, they got scratched up, but I told them, I said, listen, I'm all about safety, but I'm going to have to go on this. So please, you know, I don't mean to hurt anybody at all, but I've got to go. I'm going all out. And they were like, don't go for it. They were scared.
Yeah.
It's true.
Give me a safety
like, word. This dude has lost his mind.
Got a walker safety word.
Exactly.
Well, I tell you what, we just seen Walking Dead. They made a big announcement. Everybody already knew it. They got picked up for season 6. The show.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. It's been renewed for season 6. Like, there was a question that it was going to get renewed. But
exactly, right. You said, thank you, Captain Obvious, for that announcement.
Yeah. Everybody knew that was going to happen, man. But, hey, Nate, Chad, I know you got to get ready to go, brother. And if you could stay on the line just a couple minutes right after the show and let us talk to you and say goodbye and everything.
Okay, brother. Absolutely.
Is there anything?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Tyrese, this is fabulous. It just puts that little cherry on top. We've just got how many more members of the cast we got to get on the show, Sean?
Yeah, well, we're working our way through them there, so.
Hey, but, man, that's the way you do it. Just like people who get their posters signed, you know, they're like, they're determined to do it. So you're going to do the same.
This is my last question for you before I walk out, Chad, before we walk out of the studio, Chad. What have you ever just gotten a script and looked at it and said, Chad, you know, Tyrese would never do that. And if you go and talk to the writers and the producers, they listen to you?
Well, yeah, no, they listen. It's an open door policy. That happened in season three when we were dealing with the governor. I had to let him know that Tyrese wouldn't just give up those people in the prison easy. It had to be a struggle for that.
Yeah.
And I called him and he said, yeah, I got you. You're right. But it's so far, man, it's season four and five, man. It's been like, it's a Lamborghini. Here go the keys. Hop in and drive that baby. That's how it's been. So that's been a blessing.
That's been wild, man. Been a wild ride. And I tell you what, we're going to close out the show. Stay on the line 1 second. I don't know. I keep wanting to call you Tyrese. All right, Chad?
It's all right, guys. All right. That's a compliment.
All right, brother. Stay on the line 1 second. Hey, little brother, let's pay some bills.
You know we got to. Somebody's got to pay for it.
We do. Absolutely, guys. Special thanks to all our sponsors tonight. 102.7 FM, The Hog, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Creative Commons, and Midnight Syndicate. Thanks for the tunes and the new Action Audio apps. Hey, are you listening? They want to know. Check them out, actionaudioapps.net. Special thanks to tonight's guest, Chad Coleman. Hey, from the haunted backroads of America, this has been another G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys. We'll